Welcome to an episode of The Brand Culture, a podcast and video show which brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, and experience from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. If you're new to the channel, please subscribe so you won't miss a new episode. I'm your host, Fritz Bussemaker, and today I'm delighted and privileged to have a conversation with Anastasia Kozlova. Anastasia, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Yeah, let me introduce Anastasia. You are a musician, a freelance concert violinist. You are the art director of your own music festival and has helped a number of music festivals around the world to also start. You've won numerous prizes and recognition and has played with the world's leading classical musicians. Now, a bit more background. You were born in Leningrad to a family of musicians. For instance, your mother was a very world-famous harpist, one of the top five harpists in the world. You don't live in Russia anymore, and we'll cover that extensively in the interview, a very fascinating family history. So again, Anastasia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for the introduction. Yeah.
You are foremost a musician. If I read up on what your background is, it oozes music all over. Is that correct?
It is music all over, but... You are a bit exaggerating.
That's fine. That's okay. The audience will be able to pick up what's reality. Now, as mentioned, you were born in Leningrad, but at a certain point you moved outside of Leningrad. Could you take us, why did you move?
Well, I was born in St. Petersburg in Leningrad in Russia. And when I was 11, we moved to Spain for the work of my father. And when I was 13, we came to Holland, to the Netherlands. So right now I'm in the Netherlands. And the reason was that my mother was very ill and we were searching for a better treatment. And we were hoping to find it in Spain. And later we found it in Holland, but it was quite too late. So she, when we arrived in Holland, I was 13. And when I turned 15, she passed away.
Okay, and you and your father decided to stay in Holland.
Yes, because my father got a permanent contract and I was at school and we decided to stay.
Okay. Well, welcome. Now, we'll talk later about your own festival. Actually, I'm going to do that right now because you organize your own festivals. Now, there are a number of music festivals out there in the world. How does your differ compared to others?
Well, I started to organize festivals because I found the world of classical music quite, how can I say, boring. Yeah. And made for older audience. So I wanted to do it differently. And that was my drive to start a festival. I started my first festival in 2009. And what I very much wanted was the combination of classical music with other disciplines. So I did music and sport, music and brain, and things like that. And I was creating my own concert programs and also working with different, not only musicians, but also painters and scientists and people like that. I think that it is possible to bring classical music to wider audience, mm-hmm. but we have to make it younger.
Okay, and did you succeed,
so this is
by the
what
way?
I did. Yeah. I of course, for classical music, we have mostly older audience. That's the audience we have. But for example, with Festival Groeneveld, we are also doing music and fashion and other things and jazz. And I saw that, we do have young people. They do come and they do appreciate it. And we even have young people who come for the first time and who are not used to classical music. And when they arrive and they see it, I often get letters later from them, like, well, you opened my eyes and it is so beautiful. I never thought about it. And I'm very, very proud of it. And also in 2009, when I started, it was outside and free to people to come. And it was very, very open way. And we did have young people and I'm really very proud of it.
Okay, no, well done. Because what will happen to classical music if you do not follow that approach, in your opinion?
Well, First of all, anyway, the world is changing. So, and of course, also after COVID, but it started even before, we are looking different way at classical music and we are combining it a different way. And to bring our message, we want to bring it to the people of our own age. We want to bring it to our friends. We want to make it younger. And the problem with classical music, I think, is that people, when they're very young, they get in touch with classical music, children at school, for example, or through their parents. And then later on, when they go to the university, they see also some classical music from what the university has to offer. But at the moment that they start working, so they are about 20 plus and they start their own career, then it's quite difficult because you cannot influence them anymore. I mean, they are free, they earn their own money and they know what they want to spend it on. So it's quite difficult to bring them to classical music because people think when I go to the concert hall, I will meet all these 60, 70 plus people and I don't want to be associated with them. I don't want to sit in this environment. So in the classical music, what we're trying to do is really change that. It's really make it younger, make it more spontaneous. Like you can take your drink with you or something. We have also concerts where you can stand or for example, what we do, we have concerts outside and then you can sit on the carpets, you know, in the nice environment. So it's very open. It's not as stiff as it used to be before.
Okay. By the way, what's your definition of classical music? When does music become classical?
Well, that's a good question. Of course, it's an art form and we have contemporary music and classical music, which is from Baroque to the day of today. Yeah.
Okay, so classical music does not necessarily have to be old music?
No, not at all.
Or is it defined as a particular style of music?
It's a particular style of music. It's a particular way it's a style of music. But we have a lot of differences in it. I mean, there may be trillions of pieces written in classical music. So, for example, when someone says, I don't like classical music, then it's a bit difficult because you have so much in it that I am sure definitely there will be something you will like.
Okay, so I mean, it reminds me of concerts in the past which combine modern rock music with classical music, like A Night at the Opera. So it lowers the barrier of people getting introduced to that type of music.
That's true. But on the other hand, when I was studying at the conservatory, I worked for impresario who was organizing concerts for elderly people, but also in the hospitals and ill people, also people of my age and in hospitals. And when we came there to play, this impresario said to us, you know, you have to play some light music because those people, they don't feel well and it's not nice if it's too long. So it has to be like, you know, nice and light and friendly music. And then we decided not to do it this way. So we played real sonatas, which take maybe half an hour. And we played real music like Ravel and Saint-Saëns and everything. So it didn't matter what kind of classical music it was. And the response was outstanding because at the end people came to us and said, we are so happy that you looked at us in a serious way. We want to be treated serious in a serious manner. So when we speak about classical music for younger people, it doesn't have to be light music or Kreisler or some Schlager. You don't need that. We find that, for example, for classical music, especially new music, new classical music, contemporary, is very interesting for younger audience because they want to discover something new. They want their own style to see it and it appeals much more to them.
Got that. Now, this is a perspective on getting a younger generation interested in classical music. Do you need to convince the musicians you invite to your festivals?
Or do they convince them?
That this is something we need to do as a community to get that next generation on board.
Well, you know, the world has changed right now in the classical music society. It was different. When I started, it was really different. So, for example, in 2009, I had to explain people how it would be. For example, I'm the founder, or how do you find it? I say it. I found the concept, and it was classical music with yoga, which was strange because doing yoga with classical music, or cycling with classical music, it was something, you know, something outgoing. So at the first one I was doing this, I had to convince my colleagues, like, we will play music while the people will be doing sports. And first it was, what? They have to sit and listen. I said, yeah, but it is listening, but on the other way. So at the first it did took time. But right now I think it's kind of normal.
Okay, now these are a lot of creative ideas to promote classical music in combination, as you've mentioned. Where do you draw your inspiration from? What helps you create these type of ideas and concepts?
Well, I want to give something to people. I want to make a difference. My mother died when I was 15. She was 47, and I believe that we have only one life. And I really want to mean something for people. I want to bring it. And I would be very unhappy to, you know, to go away and that nothing will be left. So, and I feel that I can change things. I feel that the change is coming from the small man, the small person. So I think anyone can change the world. You just have to stand and do it. That's what I believe. So I look at the world leaders. I look at the famous business people. I do a lot of courses. I read a lot of books, and I look also at other worlds, not only the world of classical music, but also the world of business and the world of science and the world of politics. And I try to learn from all of them, and the arts, of course, and to learn from them and to create something and to make a difference.
Okay, so the passing away of your mother is a very sad moment, did inspire you to realize I want to contribute to something.
Yes, because I think that in her way she was doing the same. Yeah.
Great. Okay, now, as mentioned, next to your own music festival, you also contributed to help other festivals being organized. Are you using the same format, approach, or?
No, not really. I always look at what people want and what they want to reach. So I try to help them to achieve whatever they want to achieve, or to give advice, you know, or to help in a way I can. I did also some marketing courses and a marketing study, and I try to pass on my knowledge and the knowledge I got from a lot of people who helped me and who gave me their knowledge and who I learned from.
Good. Okay. We can talk a lot about music, but I also want to touch upon your family background because you have actually quite a family history and a family legacy, which brought you where you are today. As mentioned, grew up in St. Petersburg, but you are the daughter of a Russian aristocratic family. Can I describe it like that?
Yeah, you can. Yes. My great 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 grandfather was a priest, and he went to Alaska, and he became the metropolit, so the head of the Russian Church on Alaska in America. And later on, he was called a pronounced saint. So it's Saint Innocent of Alaska is my great great father, and my grandmother, her grandfather was the personal priest of Maria Fyodorovna. She was a queen, a tsarina of in Russia, and her son was the Nicholas II, so the last Tsar of Russia. So my grandmother was born in a palace because she lived with her parents and her grandparents, and well, she when the Bolsheviks came, it was really difficult because it was forbidden to come from, you know, to have blue blood and to how do you describe it? So they became all the men went to prison. They were taken to prison, and the women, they became they got a stamp in the passport, which meant that they were enemy of the state. So my grandmother had incredibly difficult time because she was not welcome anymore anywhere. So being enemy of the state meant that you cannot get any medical attention, you cannot study, you cannot do nothing. I mean, you are nothing in the world. And she had a really, really difficult time in it, but she survived it. And her father and her grandfather, they were killed in prison. And my grandmother went on with her sister and with her mother. And eventually she met my grandfather, and he was a German architect, and he was building bridges and engineer. Mm-hmm. And during the Second World War, they were living in a wagon of the train, and this wagon was going towards the front. So they stand, they were there like 10 kilometers from the front. And every time the German troops would blow up a bridge, my grandfather had to build it up again. And my grandmother was helping him because at that time the maps were made by hand. So she was drawing maps at the architect firm, and so they lived in this wagon for the whole time as the war went on. And my grandfather, he brought animals every day because he couldn't see it, all the animals, you know, being on the street. And so they had in the wagon like 13 cats and 6 dogs, and so it was a difficult situation. But after war, I mean, my grandmother, she was really a huge example for me. She was the sun, because she survived it all, and she ended up as a very bright person. I mean, for example, her son was taken to Siberia because he was also enemy of the state, and she couldn't get him back for many years. One day I asked her, how is this possible? How did you manage it? How did you do it? Because in fact, I knew nothing about my family. It was kind of dangerous to know where you come from in the communist era. So my grandmother never talked about it. I didn't know anything. So when I was about 17, one night she was staying in my room. And she told me the story, and then I was absolutely flabbergasted. I never expected this. So she told me the story of my family, and I asked her, how did you survive? How did you survive this? Because she was so bright, she was so friendly, and loving people. You know, she was never bitter or angry, or it was really a bright woman. And I asked her, how did you manage it? And she said, well, you know, every time she had kind of a thing, because she brought me up. So we were living in the same room, and every morning she would open the curtains very loudly and just sing to the sun. And I was like, oh my God, no, not this, because, you know, for a young person, it was horrible. And then when she told me the story and I asked her the question, she told me, you know, this was my survival, because the only hope I had was looking out of the window and greeting the sun, because then I knew that the world will go on. The sun will come every day, and one day there will be a day when no war will be anymore, and no bad people, and yeah. And it will be bright and happy. So this was her way of surviving.
What I find very fascinating about your story, Natasha, is you have real life experience through your grandmother, through your family history, of things we normally read in history books. All of a sudden, you bring it to life. You bring it very close, and what that means. Just wondering. It's just an observation. I don't have a really a question about it, but I was just maybe trying to see to understand when you were 17 years old, when you found out about this history, did you believe it immediately? Did you verify it?
Yes, of course I was verifying it. It was I mean, what I told you, it's just like 5% of the things she told me, also about war and also about other family members and the history of them. And actually, I couldn't believe it because I had no idea. I only knew, of course, that my parents, the well-known musician from Leningrad Philharmonic. I remember when I was young. I remember that my parents, for example, sometimes would tell me, this you cannot say at school, or this you cannot say to other people. And I was wondering, you know, why? No idea why. And but I did understand that something was going on. I remember that when I was a kid at school, I draw a portrait of Lenin, because we had to draw a parade of so I draw the parade and all the people walking there, and you know, with banners, and then the Lenin and the Marx and the Engels on it, and then I was kicked out of school. And then there was a huge scandal, because it apparently in the communistic Russia, there was only one painter who was allowed to draw Lenin.
Okay.
And of course,
young schoolgirl not allowed to create that painting.
No, but nobody told me. I mean, I was 7 or 8, something like this. So after this, my father came to school, you know, with flowers, and he was a very charming man. So they said, okay, you know, she could stay. But it was quite a shock. So when my grandmother starting to tell me, and after those experiences, I did understand that it might be it might be that way, that she couldn't tell it to me before. Yeah. Yeah. And probably she also thought that I was too young. I do remember the time when she got a letter, and I was maybe 11, and she got a letter from the state saying that her father was executed. I remember that it was written there, kind of, we are sorry to inform you, but he is executed there and there, which was, of course, all secret, all kept away from her and from the family. And it was written there, like, we accused him of that and that, and we are sorry for that. It was wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. And I remember her shock, and I did remember it as a kid, that something really huge happened in the family. But of course, I had no idea why.
Yeah. And in hindsight, you found out later what happened. Now, understanding that family history, how did that, did it have any influence on music and what you do with music?
Yes, I think so. I think so. I think that I was influenced by my grandmother a lot, by the way she brought me up, in the a bit traditions of the way that the woman should be, also kind of the Russian aristocratic way of being a lady. And it did influence a lot also, I always try to bring something good, you know, to mean something. I always try to follow. I think that my great father, the Saint Innocent, he brought kind of light to people, because what I was reading about him later on. There were a lot of books written about him, and people who met him at his time, when he was still alive, they were writing about a very tall man of almost 2 meters, and he was very, very friendly and kind, and they were writing about somebody extraordinary, which is a saint. And this is really kind of awkward, because the person was still alive, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think I try in what I do, I try a little bit to keep the family history alive, and to really bring something to people, to mean something.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, got that. Thank you for that, Anastasia. Now, in this context, you just described what you do with music, family background. What does this mean for how you define success? Is it for you something you think about?
Yes, it is something I think about the whole time. and often. And success for me is not it's not the fame, it's not the money, it's not about that, it's not about yourself. I think success is when I really give something to other people, when I get feedback, you know, when I get feedback, when I touch somebody, when somebody did something different way or opened the eyes, or when something happens in other people's hearts, that's a success for me.
Great. Hey, two more questions, if I may, Anastasia. First of all, are you able and willing to comment on the current state of affairs in Russia?
What yes, I will. Yes, I'm really deep saddened by what is happening. I think it's absolutely horrible, and I think I cannot understand that this is happening, and it's very difficult to accept, and very difficult to look at it. And I was sitting at home and looking, and you know, at all this those news, and being incredibly sad, and at some point I thought I cannot sit still, you know, I cannot do nothing, because it doesn't feel right for me. I should use maybe the ability to organize things to mean something for other people, to be able to help in a way. So I started to organize benefits and to raise money for Ukrainian musicians in need, and for elderly people, and for young people from Ukraine, but also people who flee to Holland, so the people who are living in the neighborhood. And I worked with different theaters, and I as a singer theater in Laren, but I also worked with Rotary clubs, which helped me a lot in support. And I was raising money together with artists. We created different programs. In all the programs, I tried to do kind of the same concept as I do with my festival. So there was also ballet, and we had also some fun in it. And there were different musicians, also a lot of musicians who fled from Ukraine, and ballet dancers, and. Yeah, this is kind of my way of giving something to people, doing something. Yeah.
Well, you've been very successful. You know how to create movement. You know how to create a crowd. I've been following what you've done, and you've been able to influence lots of people to follow this. So well done there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Final question. How do you want the world to remember you?
Oui. Well, first of all, I think as a person, you know, as somebody who really cared, as somebody who helped others, and hopefully as somebody who contributed something, who changed something, who brought innovation, and who really helped people to love classical music, or to do more with music, because I think it's also great for the brain and for the whole development. And I hope I can contribute and do something which will bring the world further.
Well, just looking at what you've accomplished so far, I think hope has become reality, because you've done that. So well done. It's been fascinating, Anastasia, to talk to you about your family history, your own background, how you are there. And I wish you lots of success with your future music festivals, with the Benesat concerts. And I will definitely attend a future one and come and see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. All the best to you.
Thank you for listening to the brand called You Videocast and Podcast. Platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.